Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
Sadly, you've lost a loved one. You're experiencing complicated grief and don't know what to do. You feel you're losing your mind, or you're experiencing a dark night of the soul due to some painful life challenges and can't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Perhaps you're struggling in your marriage or relationship and feel like throwing in the towel. Maybe you're a student and struggling with your self-esteem and suffer from test anxiety. Or you're a business person hitting the glass ceiling and struggling in your business and need a breakthrough. Or maybe you simply need to retreat and hear yourself think so you may recharge and refocus. Whatever the challenges you face, Victorious Living has developed a solution for you. Call Victorious Living at 1-721-524-8731, 1-721-522-2084, or 1-888-VICTORY. That's 1-888-388-4286. Or visit us at victoriouslivingfoundation.com and transform your life today.
Just after this, I'll be right back with Afonso Blyden here on Love and Inspiration.
Sadly, you've lost a loved one. You're experiencing complicated grief and don't know what to do. You feel you're losing your mind, or you're experiencing a dark night of the soul due to some painful life challenges and can't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Perhaps you're struggling in your marriage or relationship and feel like throwing in the towel. Maybe you're a student and struggling with your self-esteem and suffer from test anxiety. Or you're a business person hitting the glass ceiling and struggling in your business and need a breakthrough. Or maybe you simply need to retreat and hear yourself think so you may recharge and refocus. Whatever the challenges you face, Victorious Living has developed a solution for you. Call Victorious Living at 1-721-524-8731, 1-721-522-2084, or 1-888-VICTORY. That's 1-888-388-4286. Or visit us at victoriouslivingfoundation.com and transform your life today. This is Love and Inspiration, building stronger relationships and inspiring lives.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Love and Inspiration, building stronger relationships and inspiring lives. Thank you so much for tuning in. You are in time right now to be able to listen to a very powerful interview that I'm about to have with Mr. Afonso Blyden. As you know, he is the man behind the wonderful catering service you've always heard me talk about, A&F Catering. And it's really a pleasure to have him here with me on the show today, because he's got so much to share with you. And I'm pretty sure wherever you're going to be listening to this powerful interview with Afonso Blyden, you are going to be inspired today. So I do want to invite you to just sit back, relax, and just do not be distracted at all as you listen to what I've got to talk about with Mr. Afonso Blyden, who is here on the line with me. A very pleasant good afternoon to you, Mr. Afonso Blyden. Welcome to Love and Inspiration. It's a pleasure to have you. It's always nice to speak with you. And today, of course, having you on the show, it's really, really important, because you've got something very, very vital to share with the listeners, not only here on St. Martin, but around the world listening to Love and Inspiration, and also when the show is rebroadcast on voiceofthecaribbean.net and on Bashani Radio from out of New York City. So, Mr. Blyden, you know, just for persons who may not know you, and I have the privilege of knowing Mr. Afonso Rolando Bryce Blyden, and being here on the show today is really, you know, a pleasure to have you. So let's just get a little bit of an idea of Afonso Rolando Blyden. Where were you born, Mr. Afonso, just to give us an idea? And what do you do as a professional?
Okay. I was born on the island of Aruba back in 1964, where I did all my my studying. And in 85, I migrated to St. Martin, where I'm still currently residing. My professional career. Officially, my profession is administrative bookkeeper. So I have my degree in accounting. And back in 1987, I needed a change. So I applied to the government and started working at the Office of General Affairs. Now it's what you call Records and Information Management under the Ministry of General Affairs. And my current position is, how do I translate it in English? Application Manager for the Government Administrative System.
Just listening to you speak about this, I didn't even have a slightest clue that you were, you know, doing accounting, because I know you as I know you today or over these years. So accounting, was that a passion of yours, or it was something that you started off with and then, you know, just down the road things change? Because, you know, sometimes you start with something or you may have a passion for something, but then God has a different plan.
You know, Mr. Cotton, that's a very funny question, because I always thought that accounting was my one and only love. And like, for instance, when some people would do crossword puzzles for entertainment, I would actually do math problems for entertainment. And then, like I said, back in 87, when I started to work for government, I realized that accounting was not my passion. My passion became actually archiving and learning about the history of our beautiful island.
And yes, when you did that, you know, I can imagine that for you at that time, you didn't even have the slightest clue that that would have been what you'd be doing today and doing it with a passion, because, you know, from what I know, you have become, or you are known as, I would say, the leader. Yeah, I can hear you. You're known as the leader. You're known as the leader in terms of when it comes to archives. You have everything placed where it needs to. So you're like the man to go to.
I didn't hear your question too well.
Okay, no problem. So I was saying, as you mentioned that a while ago, you were talking about when persons were, you know, doing puzzles. I said you were the one that would do math. And
yes, correct.
And then today, looking at where you are now at the National Archives of St. Martin and doing what you do, you know, you're the one that persons talk about that is the leader in that, or the one who understands how that all is put together. So you're like the man to go to. Did you ever imagine that that would be the case?
Well, no, but I have to make one slight correction. St. Martin does not have a national archive. We are in the process of putting it together. And to answer your question, no, I never saw myself in this position I am right now, although one of my long-term goals was to be, two long-term goals actually. One was to become one of the leading historians on the island, and second, to eventually become head of the established National Archives. So no, I never really saw it in my future, really, until I started to work for government.
I see. And how long are you now with government?
On January 2nd, I'm going to make 35 years.
35 years on January 2nd?
Yes.
Wow, 35 years. That's a very long time.
Yes, it is.
And what really makes it so interesting for you then, Alfonso, that for that length of time that you're with government, what is it that makes it so exciting for you to go in year after year and do what you do?
You know, working in the archives or working for government in general, you are in a constant state of learning. And every day when I go in with the anticipation of finding something new, not necessarily new, but something that I did not know about. And it would be something then that I could share about our history and our culture with the people, that I'm in contact with.
Well, I definitely believe you, because there's so much to learn from history. And that brings me to a question I have for you. What can you share with us, Alfonso, in terms of really interesting history that persons may not have stand still by about St. Martin, since, you know, you are really involved in that aspect of history or archiving from St. Martin? Because right now there are a lot of people listening to the program, not only here in St. Martin, but around the world. If you can share with us, that's really that would be very interesting. I would love to hear.
Okay. For example, besides having a lot of documentation about our past history where slavery is concerned, like for instance, last week, or it was a week before last, I found documentation concerning when we got our first street lights, when we got in of the first cars that came on the island, including the first typewriter, and also when we officially made the connection between Philipsburg and Marigot, or I should say vehicular connection, information about the islands, the Windward Islands' participation during World War II, and those kind of things. Because we tend to think that, oh, the Windward Islands, Sabre Station, St. Martin, that they are small islands, and that they had no impact on the World War, and actually, we did, because if it wasn't for our participation, according to the information I found, the war, the outcome could have been affected to a certain extent.
That's very interesting. Can you elaborate more on that, Alfonso? Because I'm thinking about us here, small islands, such an impact that we had. Talk to us a little bit more about that.
Because, you know, because of our strategic location, there was a lot of U-boat action going on in this area. And what the Allies needed, they needed a port where they could, they needed a port in this region that they could use to access they needed a port in this region for them to be able to reach their goal, where the real action, I should say, or the fighting was going on, and to also try to eliminate the U-boat action that going on with the Germans in this region.
Wow, that's some rich history. As I listen to you carefully, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Love and Inspiration with your host, Roy Cotton Jr., speaking here with Alfonso Blyden on the show, as you're going to hear in just a little while from him all about his healing journey, but just getting a clear idea of some of the things that he's discovered in terms of history for St. Martin. Is there something else that you would love to share with us in terms of some powerful and beautiful history of St. Martin? What is in our archives?
Yes, actually. You know, you always hear about Salem witch hunts and those kind of things in the U.S. and witch hunts in the Europe. And St. Martin, we had our own issue with witch hunts, where there was a case going on with, if I'm not mistaken, 6 or 7 persons who were accused of witchcraft. And they even had a court case, but thank God they were all freed, because it was an effort to rid them of their belongings by accusing them of witchcraft. But they went through the whole kit and caboodle of being dunked in water, tied to a plank. The only thing they didn't do with them is burn them at a stake, or because one of them was thrown in water to see if she would float or sink.
Wow. And that happened here on St. Martin.
Right here on St. Martin, yes.
Do you know how long ago that was? When, what year roughly?
1711.
1711. Do you think in 1711, Mr. Afonso, I was around that time or you?
I was not even a thought.
We are in the same boat, Afonso. I wasn't even a thought myself too. And our parents was maybe not even a thought self. 1711. That's really powerful to think about. What actually, you know, happened in that time on St. Martin. And I remember that some time back you spoke about, I believe they're on 80 Illich Road, nearby where you have the Ministry of Justice. There was, let me see, it was an interesting story you shared where they had taken a head off of someone. I mean, of course, this is Love and Inspiration. We shouldn't be talking about things so gory, but just about the history. Can you just remind me of that story again?
Okay, yes. That story or that part of history is known as Gudder's Head. Now, Gudder was an enslaved person on the island, and he made the unfortunate mistake of having an affair with a white woman. And when they found out about that, he was arrested and sentenced to be hung until dead on the northeastern tree in front of the courthouse. You know, in front of the courthouse, they had two large flamboyant trees.
As far as I can remember, yeah, I believe so. From my memory.
So he was sentenced to be hung until dead. And once he was dead, they decapitated him and put his head on a stake right in the area that you mentioned, just past where Butte Hotel was located. Mm. And that was done to deter anyone else from doing what he did. The head was placed on a stake for 3 days.
Wow.
And then it was removed.
Wow. That's some powerful history. You know, listening to you, Afonso, I believe it's so very important to actually sit in your presence and hear really a lot about the rich history that we've got here on St. Martin. And now I can understand why it's your passion, what you do for so many years and enjoy. Because it's so very important for people to understand what their history is all about and just know where they come from and what took place on the island.
Exactly.
Yeah, and especially with St. Martin's Day coming up on November 11th, just around the corner, which is next week, I'm sure that there's so much that you can share about that. That will have to be a different program. I could tell you that for sure if you know, we had that kind of time on another show. For St. Martin's Day that is coming up next Thursday.
Yes, we can do something whenever you like.
All right, fantastic. I love it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am so much enjoying this conversation with Afonso Blyden here on Love and Inspiration. As you heard from him, just a bit on what he does and some rich history about St. Martin, wherever you are right now listening to the show. And Afonso, with all that you do, you know, every day getting up and going to work, you have a family, you're a husband, you're married, all of that good stuff. But something happened over a period of time, and not too long ago actually, which affected your health. And you're speaking with us here today, and I believe it's so very important for you to share with us what happened and how come you're here today. Because I understood from you that in terms of what happened with you health-wise, you were told by doctors that you have only a certain amount of time to live and they have given up on you, but you're here speaking to me this very second. I'm all ears as much as the whole world is. The floor is yours, Afonso. Talk to us.
Okay. My medical journey, I should call it, started ending 2019 when I started getting some strange complications. But I shrugged it off and didn't really worry it until February 2020, when I started going to the doctor. And that was just during the COVID period, and we had the lockdown and all of that. And I was being bounced back and forth from that side to friend side. And I was treated for almost every known ailment that you could have where your stomach is concerned. And they could not find what was wrong with me. And it wasn't until November last year that I was sent abroad and I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And then this year, March, things took a turn for the worst, and they gave me 3 weeks to live. Of course, you know, that hit me like a 10-ton bus. But, you know, because there's so much that a person has planned, and you are never prepared for that kind of news. So when I got the news for the first 3 days, I was at a point of giving up, because I believed them. And although I had so many people praying for me, praying for my total healing, I still almost reached a point where I wanted to give up, because, you know, that kind of news plays with your mind. Because what happened is, the first thing when they told me about the 3 weeks, a time clock went off in my head. And it was like I was thinking, okay, 3 weeks, today is the second. And you started adding 21 days on top of it, until a voice in my head told me, but Ponzo, who tell you that you have exactly 21 days? It could happen within those 21 days. And then that set off another process in my mind, because I was afraid to fall asleep. Every time I would doze off, I would be like, no fun, don't go sleep, don't go sleep, don't go sleep. And that went on for a few days, me fighting sleep, not wanting to go sleep. And out of the blue, I heard it, you know, I shouldn't say out of the blue, because at a given point, I said, God, I can't do this without. And while thinking that, I heard like a voice telling me, okay, now I got your attention. Let me show you what I can do. And at the same time, I got this, like a message telling me, contact the business there in Simpson Bay, Tizan, from Ms. Tashina Maku Thomas, and inform her of what is going on. So I did that. And I should mention something that I forgot to say, is that during this whole period, I was on a regimen of morphine. So I was in a constant state of drowsiness. I would sleep, wake up, sleep, wake up, sleep, wake up, not even knowing what day it was. And when things took a turn for the worse, it was because I had 4 to 5 days that I thought was one day, but it was really 4 to 5 days that I did not eat or drink anything. Because for me, it was like, when I close my eyes, I open my eyes, I look at the window, I see daylight. Close my eyes, look at the window again, I see daylight. So for me, it was one day, but in the meantime, it was between 4 to 5 days. And I thought, it was just a few minutes, so I didn't really ask for food or anything to drink. So coming back now to where I went to Tizan in Simpson Bay, Mr. Sheena, right away, she came to my assistance and she said, Mr. Blyden, I'm going to help you. And I stopped taking all medication and I focused on just drinking and taking herbal stuff. So I went from chemicals to natural, and there was an immediate change because the constant pain that I was going through 24/7 kind of just disappeared. And I don't want to create the misconception that what happened to me or what worked for me will work for everyone. Because for me, it was a combination of praying, increasing my faith, and the change from to herbal treatment. And from there on, my strength, I kept gaining strength. And I reached a point where I was totally bedridden and had to be fed like a baby. And everything had to be done for me, to where I am now, where I started back working part-time to get back into the groove of things.
Wow.
Mr. Cotton, wow. Please.
You know, Mr. Blyden, listening to you, what you're sharing there is so powerful. If I just go back a little bit there, where you spoke about the time that you were given by the doctors to live and what went off in your mind immediately, 21 days, and then hearing this voice.
And Mr. Cotton, can I add one thing more?
Sure.
Okay, because it's very important for me to add this.
Right, go ahead.
Remember, they gave up on me. They told me, Mr. Blyden, go home and spend your last days with your family. You only have 3 weeks, but there's nothing medically that can be done for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was disappointing that they had given up on me. But at a given point in time, my daughter saw the doctor and he asked her for me. And she told him, my dad is doing good. So he told her, I want to see him.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to visit him, and when he saw me, you could see the surprise on his face, because when he saw me last, I was in a wheelchair. And this time I walked into his office.
Wow.
And from there on, we started running tests. We do tests every month. And he told me that he had no medical explanation for my miraculous recovery. I told him God.
Hmm.
And he said, "Oh, that's based on belief." So, at a given point in time, it was a goal of mine to prove him wrong and make somewhat of a believer out of him. And one of the things that happened is I did a CT scan, and when the CT scan came back, a lot of stuff that they saw previously were not visible anymore.
Wow.
Yes. And he keeps calling me a miracle. And I told him one time, I said, but you say it's based on belief. I said, but who else do you know that deals in miracles? You know? So that's what I wanted to add, really.
And I'm thankful that you did, because that is so powerful for what you shared. Because as I'm thinking about the whole trajectory of what you shared with us today on the show, thinking about being told how long you have to live, to go home, we can't do anything more for you, live out the rest of your days with your family. Of course, you having your wife and your two daughters, you know, concerned, the clock going off in your head, 21 days, then hearing the voice saying, who told you, Afonso, you've got 21 days? Talking about day and days, things that, you know, because you were afraid to go to sleep because you thought that would have been it. And just wake, opening, closing your eyes. And it seems like it was just one day where there were like 4 days gone by. And then today, when that was told to you months ago, and here we are speaking this very, very moment on the air, I believe the only thing that is possible to be said is that there was an intervention, there was a miracle by a great physician than what you may have had here earthly.
Definitely. And I always say, now, in whose report do you believe?
That's a very powerful question. In whose report do you believe? Yeah. Speaking to you, Afonso, no words for this. Go ahead.
Because, you know, I was one of, I considered myself somewhat of a skeptic.
Uh-huh.
Whenever I saw, like, for instance, Jimmy Swaggart, Benny Hinn doing these healings, for me it was like, yeah, right, you know, that's a staged something. And now when I saw it happening to me, so I'm like, I proved myself wrong. God can heal.
Yeah, you know, it's so powerful as you say this, because I remember Alfonso, because we know each other. I remember many months ago when I saw you and I knowing you to be a specific weight, and we talked and you said, you know, all the tests that you have to undergo and losing weight and so forth. And now today, when I saw you yesterday at the supermarket, and not only just yesterday seeing you, but I've seen you before and seeing you having your camera again in your hand, taking photos at one of the functions, a cultural function a few months back, seeing you yesterday at the supermarket and driving, going to church, going out with your daughter and your wife, is a powerful testimony when you think about it.
Yes, it is.
And I know you're talking to us right now on radio, Alfonso, and everyone is listening and who would also listen to this rebroadcast. But I'm sure that you have shared this powerful healing journey with others. Where have you shared such with others, Alfonso, so that persons could get an idea of where you shared this powerful story?
Oh, wow. Since I'm back on my feet, the first time I gave my testimony was on a live Facebook broadcast.
Okay.
And since then, I've been on different churches, Friendside, Whole Bay, Dutchside, and I've given my testimony about this same testimony quite a few times. And believe me, Mr. Cotton, my situation is not a secret, because I'm hoping that by telling people what I went through, it can help avoid someone else going through the same situation with the same symptoms and them not being able to pinpoint or diagnose what it is. It would help them to minimize the pain and suffering that I went through. So I share it with anyone who's willing to listen and take it from there.
Right. You know, Alfonso, you're saying that it's so very important to share what you've gone through to give people hope, because today, with so much that is happening around us, especially for health-wise, there's quite a lot of people who have lost hope. And you know, as we're speaking, the messages are coming in, Alfonso, from the listeners, and one of the listeners shares here, not only can God heal, but God desires to heal. So it is His will to heal, because He wants to see us prosperous. He wants to see us living. And I believe that for you now, experiencing that, that is more than alive for you, more than real. Is that correct to say?
Yes, it is. Because like I said, I was one of the big skeptics. And Now I fully 100% believe that with God, all things are possible.
With God, all things are possible. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Love and Inspiration. Your host here, Roy Cotton Jr., speaking to Alfonso Rolando Blyden. And he's sharing with you all about his healing journey. And wherever you are under the sound of this interview, we do hope that you are empowered, because there might be a family member in your home that's going through a health challenge, or maybe even yourself, to let you know that there is hope, but also very key to know that God desires to heal. And very important, as Alfonso stated, that he's sharing so that you're able to have hope, but also very important to know that what his experience is, you may have also a different experience, so maybe not the same as his, but it's important to share this. You know, Alfonso, I want to ask you, in the early days when your wife and your daughters, who love you dearly, heard this news about you, what were their reactions? What were the dynamics in the household, especially being, you know, a father and a husband figure that they love so much?
You know, coming back from abroad with the news, the most difficult part for me was informing my two daughters. And I wanted to do it, but I was scared. And at the same time, I did not want them to hear it from someone else before they heard it from me. And the part with the Trui, my eldest daughter, she got that news on her birthday. She got that. And they, you know, to sit down and see your wife and your kids cry with this impending doom hanging over our head, it was difficult for me. And at a certain point in time, what made it even more difficult, because I'm talking about the period when I was about to give up, the planning your own funeral. For me, it was surreal. And at the same time, it was tough, because You know, you always look forward to seeing your kids grow up and become successful.
Mm.
And I could not even look further at that point in time, further than 2 weeks.
Mm.
So it was tough, see, because everyone walking around with sad faces. And, you know, I don't know how to explain the feeling, but it was a period where you would try to laugh, but you could not laugh.
I see. Mm.
But we got through it.
Yes, you did. You definitely did. And you know, interesting as you say that, and I'm so thankful that you shared that, because it's so important for persons to have an idea on how other family members could feel or could be feeling at that time when they get news as such from a person in the family who is suffering from a health issue, a serious health issue, the effect that it can have on them, because that's in itself a trauma to be able to deal with.
Yes, it is, because at a given point in time, I even stopped looking in the mirror, because I lost about 120 pounds and I went from a size 38 to a size 28, or actually even less than a size 28. Mm. And knowing how I used to be, at a given point in time, I stopped looking in the mirror. And when I started to recover, people would tell me, hey, you're looking better. And I did not have anything to compare it to, because I had about 3 to 4 months that I did not look in the mirror
at all. 3 to 4 months.
I did not like what I saw.
Mm. 3 to 4 months. That's powerful. I can imagine. I could only imagine what that feeling was like. And even self-thinking about at work, what was that like? I know you were not at work, but I mean, in terms of your colleagues, and you know, you're back at work now, what were the responses from your colleagues?
You know, it's very important to have a good home base. And I'm not talking only about your family, but my colleagues, they were a wealth of support. And although I was not in, they would keep checking up with me and visiting me. And all I have is a lot of gratitude. And as a matter of fact, there was a point in time, I think it happened in March, when there was a an event was organized for in appreciation for me, and I'm still smiling whenever I think about it, because I know people know me,
mm-hmm.
but I did not realize how much love there was out there for me. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but it was so overwhelming to see the outpouring of love and support that came from the people of St. Martin on that day, and still coming in.
Mm.
That it brings tears to your eyes.
I can imagine. Yeah, definitely. Wow, you're loved, Mr. Alfonso Blyden. You're loved not only by your family, but by colleagues, and moreover by God, because you're here speaking to us this very second, which means that God has a purpose for you.
Yes, and he does. Yes, he does.
And I know we can talk much longer, because I love talking with you, as you know. What we could do very much, which I think is so fitting, is to really, if you would like to share your final powerful words on this interview with listeners around the world, so that they would know what is it all about to have hope, to know that at the end of the day, when it's said that this is the end, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that it's the end. So what would you like to say as we come to the end of this powerful conversation with each other, Alfonso?
You actually just said it. Do not take for granted when you are told that it's the end, because there's only one person who determines whether it's the beginning or the end, and that's God. And it lifts a burden off your shoulder when you can just take all that type of worry and just place it on someone else. Just put it in his hands and say, you know, God, you worry about that. I'm not going to worry about that anymore. And once you start thinking in that direction, you'll find yourself so much more. You feel better, and you feel like you have a sidekick in your corner who's doing the battles for you. So, in other words, don't give up, because the doctors don't have the last say. They don't.
Mm. Wow. So in other words, you're saying God is the one who has the last say.
That's right.
Powerful. Afonso Blyden here on Love and Inspiration, ladies and gentlemen. Afonso, I am so thankful to be able to speak with you. And I do want to say, of course, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show, knowing you over the years and what you do here on St. Martin, your catering. I've enjoyed it over the years. And I really thank God for you. I thank God for your family. And I'm so elated to have you on the show, and I pray and believe and I know that God will see you through this, because he has made a way for you and he is your waymaker.
Yes, and I want to thank you for having me. I am always available whenever you want to discuss anything when it comes to the history, to my continued journey that I'm on right now. So I'm at your disposal anytime you're ready.
You're more than welcome, Afonso. And I remember you said one important thing. You said some time back when we were speaking, you said you're not going anywhere.
Nope, that's right.
And here you are, definitely. And I just want to let you know, Afonso, as the messages are coming in, persons are stating this is a powerful and wonderful interview with you. And from Shanella James Rumney, she said, even through the storm, he prays God through it all. So she's referring to you. Another listener said, wow, so very true, Mr. Blyden. Only God knows when is our end. So, Mr. Blyden, you have got the listener's attention here in Love and Inspiration. And I believe you have done what God has called you to do here on the airwaves. And also when this show is rebroadcast on voiceofthecaribbean.net and on Bashani Radio in New York. And listened to by millions of persons, because you've just spoken to the world. And you have given God glory for what he has done in your life. God bless you, Afonso.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're more than welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, I was just speaking to Afonso Rolando Blyden here on Love and Inspiration as he shared with you his powerful healing journey. He was given only 3 weeks to live, but here you heard him just a few seconds ago. And when the doctor said they'd given up, God said, I have not, my son.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.